When I brought up the issue of neoadjuvant endocrine therapy clinically, you gave a kind of an approach that characterizes, I'd say, about two-thirds of breast cancer investigators, because there's another third that use genomic assays and, you know, will use endocrine therapy. And, you know, one of the situations that I hear about, we actually had a case that a general medical oncologist presented at one of our meetings, and I don't know how often it happens, is the patient with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease who really needs tumor shrinkage to have breast conservation. And in that situation, I don't know, what do you do? I mean, would you give chemotherapy? Would you look at recurrence score and then decide? What would you do?
I think in that setting, looking at the recurrence score makes sense. Again, there's not large trials, but it's pretty obvious when you look at several neoadjuvant trials with the recurrence score that if you have a low recurrence score, you're not going to get at least PCR with chemotherapy, because that's how we've measured chemotherapy benefit. You may get some benefit, but again, if I have a patient, as long as she's not too young, and she has a recurrence score of 10, me trying to give her chemotherapy in the neoadjuvant setting is probably not going to achieve my goal. But if I feel I have enough time and giving her endocrine therapy in that setting, I think makes sense. Again, I'm going to have to treat her for at least 6 months, but that tumor is slowly going to respond, hopefully making her into a surgical candidate. The other approach I've used recently, especially if you kind of think that this patient is locally advanced and, you know, maybe not metastatic, but definitely micrometastatic, is whether you can add a CDK4/6 inhibitor to that mix, and then you're going to get a better response based on our metastatic data. So that might help, again, making her into a surgical candidate.